So we continue our journey through Romans. And by the way, thank you for your prayers. Kidney stones are not a fun thing, and I appreciate all the prayers you guys had, and I'm starting to feel relatively normal now. So we continue in Romans chapter 3. What advantage then is there in being a Jew, or what value is there in circumcision? Much in every way. First of all, the Jews have been entrusted with the very words of God. Now, you remember in the first chapter, Paul blasts the Gentile Christians for their immorality. And then in chapter 2, he blasts the Jews for their immorality. So now he says, what advantage is there to being a Jew? And the Jews were blessed because they're God's chosen people, and they were given the Word of God as stewards to God's Word, right? So he says, they're very special to God. The Jews were special to God, and they're still very special to God. And I'll just give you an example. You remember they were exiled to Babylon, right? And the nation of Israel was destroyed. How often does a nation come back to where it was and start up again? Like never, right? And then the nation was destroyed again under Rome. And then in 1949, it became a nation again. Twice, okay? So the Jews are special to God, all right? Bob Udley says, having God's revelation is an awesome responsibility as well as a tremendous privilege. They were stewards of God's gift. Who are the stewards of God's word today? We are, right? You and me. How are we doing? Good and bad, right? But do we hold God to God's word in all situations, or do we compromise with the culture? We all compromise at times, right? Charles Spurgeon writes, the general consensus of opinion is nothing to a Christian. He believes God's word, and he thinks more of that than of the universal opinion of men. That's how we should be as Christians. It doesn't matter what our culture or society says. This is our measuring rod for all things, okay? The Word of God, all right? Divinely inspired. So what is more important to us, God's opinion or man's opinion? That's how it should be. Remember that, okay? Because opinions of men change, right? An example, we're going to be voting on Prop 205, which is legalizing marijuana for recreational purposes. And the advertisements against it, they have the governor of the state, the mayor of Denver, and other politicians from Colorado saying, we've made a mistake. And what's devastating to me is what it's doing to their kids. Over 60% of the kids in high school are using pot up there now. They're marketing marijuana like candy bars, so little kids are getting it. And this is the one that is most devastating. 50% of babies in Colorado are born with marijuana in their system. Wow. You think that's a problem now? What's it going to be like 10 years from now when those kids are in school? Right? It's going to affect their whole lives, right? This is what we're facing, okay? To show you how crazy the world is, all right? And our culture. My sister called me this week. She lives in California. She's moving to Arizona, so there's still hope for her, okay? But she's a devout Christian, and she said, Rick, we have a proposition in California, and California's on the fringe anyway, okay? I'm sorry, Ashley. Okay. Of all the stuff going on in our society that we need propositions for, you'll never guess what they have a proposition for in California. Whether pornographic movie stars should wear condoms. That's what my sister said. She said, I'm not even... How do you vote on something like that? I mean, of all the earth-shattering... We have kids who can't read and write, right? And people say that following God's word is crazy, right? This is the world we live in, all right? Verse 3. What if some were unfaithful? Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? So, if we're unfaithful, does that affect God's faithfulness? No. He's always faithful. And what a comfort that is, right? So, even when we drop the ball, he's still there for us, right? Charles Spurgeon says, "The seed of Israel had great privileges even before the coming of Christ. God had promised by covenant that they should have those privileges, and they enjoyed them. They had revelation in the divine light, while all the rest of the world sat in heathen darkness. Yet so many Jews did not believe that as a whole the nation missed the promised blessing. A great multitude of them only saw the outward symbols and never understood their spiritual meaning. They lived and died without the blessing promised to their fathers. Did this make the covenant of God to be void? Did this make the faithfulness of God to be a matter of question? No, no, says Paul. If some did not believe and so did not gain the blessing, this was their own fault. But the covenant of God stood fast and did not change because men were untrue." So God's word is always true and reliable. But what's this blessing that Spurgeon's talking about? It's the relationship with God. There were many Jews who went through the religious practices, right? But they didn't have a relationship with God, all right? In the church today, there's many people who follow all the religious rules, right? But they don't have the relationship with God, so they're missing the blessing. The blessing comes in living in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and only in Him. That's why we tell you it's not about religion, it's about relationship here, right? So are we experiencing this blessing? Verse 4, "Not at all. Let God be true and every human being a liar, as it is written, so that you may be proved right when you speak and prevail when you judge." Do people today believe God is true and faithful? Good, surely. That's what you should say, okay? But generally in our society, no, okay? The opinions of so-called experts are considered true. Although in time their theories and hypotheses are proven false. And to give you an example, okay, evolution was the big thing for the creation of the world going back. And then there were so many holes in it, they went to the Big Bang Theory, okay? Anything but God, okay? They'll say aliens rather than say God, all right? So what happens if 20 years from now, that theory is disproved about the Big Bang Theory? Will everybody turn to God and say, oh, it was God who created everything? No, because another expert will come along, right? It will buy into these human experts rather than believe the Word of God and believe that God is God, right? Matthew Henry writes, "Let God be true, but every man a liar. Let us abide by this principle, that God is true to every word which He has spoken and will not let none of His oracles fall to the ground. Better question and overthrow the credit of all the men in the world than doubt of the faithfulness of God. All men are liars compared with God. It is very comfortable when we find every man a liar that God is faithful." What would our culture say to that? Well, that's not politically correct. How can you call everybody a liar? Compared to God, yes, okay? But when you realize that there's a source of truth you can depend on, it's freeing, right? And there's peace in that. In our dark and unstable world, isn't it nice to know we can trust God? When everything caves in, we still have a faithful and loving God with us. And that reminds me about kidney stones, okay? Last Wednesday, I bailed on a Bible study. Pastor Perry, thank you for faithfully covering God's house for me, okay? But I was in the hospital. I finally broke down and asked Pastor Robin to take me to the hospital. And it was 3 hours before I saw a doctor, and I'm sitting there in the emergency room, and just, you know, they have that little smiley face that, you know, your pain level was a 1, a smiley face, and then number 10, it's, ah! Okay. I was a 10, okay? And the pain was excruciating. And anyway, Pastor Robin was faithfully there, and we were praying. And I was praying to God silently. And the pain was so excruciating, and I was just praying and praying. And guess what happened with the pain? No. It stayed there. It stayed there. Okay? But I experienced the presence of Christ. And in the midst of that intense pain, I still had peace. Okay? And it's not that I don't believe in healing. I think you all know that. I've seen people heal. You know, cancer. I've seen people risen from the dead. Okay? In the name of Jesus. All right? Praise be to Him. All right? But there's times God just says no. Okay? But His faithfulness is always there. Right? He's always with us. And our situations may not change and our pain may still be there, but He is there also. Amen? Charles Spurgeon writes, question first. Why can we trust God's Word? Charles Spurgeon writes, one said that she believed the Bible because she was acquainted with the author of it, which is an excellent reason for believing it. You believe the gospel if you are acquainted with the Savior who brings the gospel to us. Personal dealings with God and Christ, personal trust in the living Savior, will put you out of reach of the strange inference that God will be unfaithful because some do not believe in Him. So, once again, it gets back to that relationship with Christ. When you're in a relationship with Christ, then is this just a book? No, it's the living Word of God. And the more you study it, right, the more you realize this is not a human book, all right? The Lord may have used men and women to write it, okay? But the He used men, actually. But the bottom line is this is His Word. And the more you read it, the more you discover it, okay? What does our culture say about our Christ and our Lord and His Word? Do they believe this is true? No, this is a book of myths, right? It's outdated, all right? As far as Christ, they'll say He was just a man. Some people say He didn't even exist, all right? They'll say that He wasn't born of a virgin. They'll say that He didn't rise physically from the dead. They'll say it's nonsense. They'll say there's no heaven and hell, all right? What they'll primarily say is there's no hell, because a loving God wouldn't throw anybody into hell. Well, as you know, I love Charles Spurgeon. He's my favorite preacher, which is, and he's a Baptist, okay? We're supposed to say Martin Luther, right? Especially on Reformation. But Spurgeon is my favorite preacher because he was a revivalist, and you'll appreciate this, Pastor. I found out he had vision. Yeah. So now you'll really like him, okay? But one day he was walking on the beach in Brighton, and he had a vision. And the vision was this giant black stallion. And it was an evil horse, but it proudly had went into the ocean and said, I'm going to drink this dry. So he gets in the ocean and just starts drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking, all right? And for hours he's drinking and drinking and drinking. And what happened to the level of the ocean? Nothing, okay? Finally, he continued drinking until he just burst and was washed up upon the shore, okay? And the point that Spurgeon makes is that that's what happens to people and societies that say the gospel is not true and Jesus is not Lord. They can't defeat Him, right? It's like trying to empty the ocean, because He is God, right? And it doesn't matter what we think, it doesn't matter what we do, it doesn't change the truth that He reigns. Amen? Verse 5, but if our unrighteousness brings out God's righteousness more clearly, what shall we say, that God is unjust in bringing His wrath on us? Matthew Henry writes, when men presume to quarrel with God in His proceedings, we may be sure the sentence will go on God's side. And that happens, okay? Because we have geniuses rise up, they're proved wrong, but God's Word is true forever, okay? Question, have you ever had a quarrel with God? By the laugh, I would say yes. Question, who won? God, right? And you'd think we'd learn, huh? But you just can't fix stupid, you know? All right. God always wins. He knows what's best. Verse 6, certainly not. If that were so, how could God judge the world? So if God were not to judge the world's sin because ultimately it will serve his purpose, would a God like that be true to his word and be just? No. If he just said, I'm not going to judge anybody and it's all good, okay, would that God be all just and all truthful and all just? No. No, he wouldn't be, all right? Matthew Henry writes, carnal hearts might hence take occasion to encourage themselves in sin. He said that the universal guilt and corruption of mankind gave occasion to the manifestation of God's righteousness in Jesus Christ. Now, it may be suggested if all our sin be so far from overthrowing God's honor that it commends it and his ends are secured so that there is no harm done, is it not unjust for God to punish our sin and unbelief so severely? If the unrighteousness of the Jews gave occasion to the calling in of the Gentiles, and so to God's greater glory, why are the Jews so much censored? The bottom line is our God is faithful and true when he judges, always. And it would be contrary to a holy God not to be just, all right? He's just in all things, in all his ways. And he can make our rejection and evil work for his glory. But that doesn't change the fact that he's all just and there will be judgment, okay? Because otherwise he wouldn't be God, all right? And we've made mistakes in our lives, right? But somehow God has been able to turn them into good, right? As only he can, right? Verse 7. Someone might argue, we're moving fast today. We're at verse 7 already, folks, okay? Someone might argue, if my falsehood enhances God's truthfulness and so increases his glory, why am I still condemned as a sinner? Why not say, as some slanderously claim, that we say, let us do evil that good may result? Their condemnation is just. Paul's teachers were claiming that if our sins work for good, i.e. like the death of Christ, that was an evil thing, right? But what happened? The whole world was saved through it. And they were saying, well, if our sins work good, then we should sin boldly, so more good things will happen. You see the absurdity in the argument? But isn't that what people do? They still do that kind of stuff today, right? But once again, if you hold to God's word, you can see the absurdity in it. Spurgeon said, if any man dares to say that since God turns even evil into good, and by the forgiveness of sin brings glory to himself, let us do evil that good may come. He is twisting the truth of God to his own destruction, and his damnation is just. So do people twist the truth of God today? All the time, right? They tailor it to their lifestyle. And many pastors and theologians go along with this ruse. But the problem is, and the thing that irritates me and the other pastors here, is we're talking about souls. I don't care what society thinks, okay? I don't care if you leave this building kicked off at me. I'm going to preach God's word, okay? But we're talking about souls. That's what I'm concerned about, okay? I'm not going to say things just to make you happy. I want to see you in heaven, all right? And you see the difference? Because there's many preachers today that are preaching to make people happy, even if it leads them to hell. So do people twist the truth of God today? Yes. And the problem is it involves souls. Spurgeon says, will God alter his revealed truth? If some do not believe, will God change the gospel to suit them? Will he seek to please their depraved taste? Are we to change our preaching because of the spirit of the age? Never, unless it is to fight the spirit of the age more desperately than ever. We ask for no terms between Christ and his enemies except this: unconditional surrender to him. He will lessen not jot or tittle of his claim, but he will still come to you and say, submit yourself, bow down and acknowledge me King and Lord, and take me to be your Savior. Look unto me and be you saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and besides me there is none else. If you wait till there is a revised version of the gospel, you will be lost. If you wait till there is a gospel brought out that will not cost you so much giving up of sin or so much of bowing your proud necks, you will wait until you find yourself in hell. Come, I pray you, come even now and believe the gospel. It cannot be altered to your taste, Therefore, alter yourselves so as to meet its requirements. Amen? Do you see why I picked the Christmas hymn? Isn't that what the hymn's talking about? Right? He is Lord and we are not. We are liars and He is true. Right? And He's not going to change His word just to make us happy. God sent His salvation in the person of Jesus. Embrace Him and live forever. Now, we're going to do Chalk Talk. For those in the back, you may want to move up a little bit because the markers aren't that bright, okay? This is another vision that Spurgeon had. You're starting to like him more, huh? Okay? All right? He's a charismatic, so you can, you know, you talk visions and dreams and yeah. All right? Okay. Anyway, Spurgeon talks on a hill, there's Paul, okay? And he said he was in a box with some other people watching, so we'll say there's a box. And here we are watching all this, okay? And down below, there's millions and millions of souls all headed in one direction. They're all going this way. And I'll just say, if a river helps you with your image, go ahead. But it's millions and millions of souls. And they're all going in this direction, all right? And they're looking up to Paul as he writes in Romans over the last 2,000 years, and they're saying, Jesus is just a man. The Bible is just myth. We can live the way we want, and God doesn't care, okay? Jesus wasn't born of a virgin. That's nonsense. Jesus didn't rise from the dead. It's impossible. God didn't create the earth. It's just a myth. And they're screaming all this to Paul. And Paul's only reply is this. You are all liars, and God is true. You are all liars, and God is true. There's a politically incorrect message, right? All right? But the thing is everybody, millions of souls are heading this way, and if we're down here, I know some of you have been to a Cardinal game. When you exit, you go down these big ramps, and there's all these people headed in one direction. Can you just turn around and go the other direction? No. Everybody says you can't change, right? Right. So what we do, we stop and we stand firm. And we say, we are all liars and only God is true. Only God is true. All right? But do you see what we're fighting? And isn't that true with our culture today? Turn on your TV, radios, everything. Go to the grocery store, people, they're all headed this way. And ultimately, where does this end? Hell, right? Imagine there's a big precipice at the end of the cliff. And while they're headed towards this cliff, they're saying, you're wrong, you're wrong. And don't people look at us like we're wrong and we're naive, okay, and we're stupid, right? And the bottom line is we know the truth, right? We know the truth. And if you live in the truth, is your life better? Yes, it's better here, but also for eternity, okay? Right? So, you came to church today so your pastor could say you're all liars. But that's okay, I'm a liar too. I'll admit it, I'm a liar, okay? I'm a sinner, all right? But I know Jesus Christ. And in Him is truth and Him is life, right? And even when I fall, I know He could have kept me because I live in a relationship with Him. And that's what it's about. It's about a relationship. And in this relationship, like the song says, instead of going along, we fall on our knees and we give praise to Jesus Christ, right? How can we stand? What I love about the old hymns, and this is an old hymn, Dorothy, so I hope you appreciated it, okay? But it talks about the almighty power of God. And how different He is than us, okay? And how magnificent He is. And I love the word todo poderoso to describe God in Spanish. Because it's all-powerful, almighty, okay? It's a great word to describe Him, right? And when we realize how awesome God is, what can we do but fall on our knees? Even if you're suffering from kidney stones, what can you do but fall on your knees and praise Him, right? Amen?